We are amazing because our passion is limitless and our drive is intense. Therefore, you will not deny our grind. You are now listening to the Faith Grind Inspire podcast with your hosts, Gene Alert and China.
Welcome back to another episode of Faith Grind Inspire podcast. I'm your host, Gene Alert, and today we have a special guest. As you know, it's all about mindset, entrepreneur life, and the mindset of entrepreneurs. And today we have a guest, man. And this guest is like my brother, you know? And so we're going to get right into it. I want to introduce my man, my brother, Mark Omar. What's going on, everybody? What's going on, Mark?
Not much. Happy to be here. Blessed to be here. What's going on, Gene?
Yeah, brother. Like, so we're, you know, like I said, this is a mindset podcast for entrepreneurs and people who want to become entrepreneurs. And tell people about yourself, right? Like, who Mark is.
Right.
Not the business part.
Right.
Like, just who Mark is. Like,
okay.
Tell
okay.
me about yourself.
I mean, what I am, I'm a family man. You know what I mean? And I have two kids, mm-hmm. Carden and Kaysen, Omar. I have a beautiful fiance, Shaquin. I'm a hard worker. I'm a grinder. You know, I'm a believer in God. And that's who I am, you know, and everything after that is just basically titles. And, you know, me and you go way back then, back in the days from
high school,
I remember Eugene. A good story is when we were in college, we were in Hofstra together, and Gene was the only one in the suit with the drop top convertible Benz. And he was always doing something busy, just always out there. Whether you were throwing parties, whether you were doing real estate.
Yeah.
I remember your grind from back then.
Yeah.
And I looked up to it. And I looked up to you just because you were one of the young African-American males that were doing something positive, and you were moving different than us.
Yeah.
You know, and it took a while for me to understand how many levels come into having your own business or a business mindset. It takes a level of maturity. And there's one thing to want to do it, but there's another thing to actually go out there and do it. And, you know, back when I was in my early 20s, I was working in the bank. And that's when
fast forward too much.
All right.
Let me cut you off.
Yeah.
So, okay. So thank you for that intro, brother.
Absolutely.
Like, and thank you. I didn't know that you even remember that part.
Yeah, I remember.
But, so, like, when you were saying college, I thought you were going to talk about the days where I used to be like, I rented a limo,
right,
and we would go out to a party. I was like, please don't share that.
No, right.
But it was cool, man.
Right.
Like,
but we were thinking like that anyway.
Yeah, we were thinking like that. We were always thinking about leveling up. There was something that would happen in college, and there's something that happened in college that was interesting, man. One of the chapters in my book, Do Right, Do Good, is surround yourself with the right people, right? People that will have your back whenever, however.
Right.
Even if you're not around,
right,
they always got your back, right?
Correct.
And I remember, because this is like the first time this ever actually happened for me, right?
Right.
That I actually witnessed this. So I went to class, and I came out of class, and you hit me up on my, because we didn't have cell phones, we had like time ports, right. So two-way pages,
yeah,
and you hit me up like, next, yo, Gene, yo, come to such and such dorm. And I was like, what happened?
Right.
He's like, yo, just come down. And it was this kid, from Queens, and we used to call him Turtle Man. And because he Ninja Turtle guy. That was your nickname for him. I'm throwing it back, right?
You're throwing
so
it back, way back.
He used to always wear matching bandanas,
right,
with like a wristband.
Yeah.
And he was talking crap about me.
Right.
And you like have the bump for me.
Right.
You like have the bump for me. You like, yo, you're not going to be talking about my boy like
that. I know
what
you're talking about. I remember that.
And so me and him had beef because of that. And I was like, yo, I had nothing to do with this. And
right.
But he was like, yo, what you want to do, G? What you want to do? I was like, yo, you can let him go. And so, but I was like, yeah, man, learn your lesson. You know, don't talk crap. You know?
Right.
So, but it was cool because I was like, yo, wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
This dude didn't have to do this, you know?
Right.
And so that was cool, man. But that shows on a lot of levels who you are.
Right.
Right? So like
that was let me cut you off. That was me at 18.
No, I'm
but
saying
it's true.
But it's the same principle.
Yeah, same.
It's the principle
absolutely.
Of like loyalty.
Absolutely.
If someone's in your clan, someone's in your circle, you got their back.
That's it.
Even if they're not watching, because
that's
you could have been like, oh yeah, he's talking about Gene, and then leave it alone and tell me later and have me deal with it.
Absolutely.
But you were like, I'm gonna deal with this now.
Yep.
And then I'm gonna get Gene. And say, hey, Gene, this is what's going on.
Yep.
Which was cool. And so what that shows me, right, that shows me the type of person that you are as far as, like, if someone's in your clan, you're loyal to them, right? And that was, like, the first time I've ever seen that really take place.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew from there, I was like, we're brothers for life, right? And we've been close ever since. I mean, we were close before
because
you went to Kellenberg with my cousin, Chris.
Right.
Shout out to Chris. And, so we knew each other from Kellenberg days, but then, you know, from college, that's when me and you, because you went to school with my cousin.
Right.
But you went to college with me. Yeah, so that's absolutely. How our bond became closer.
Right.
And ever since then, man, we've just been, like, friends for life, right?
That's it.
And we're going to talk about something else, too, where how that bond, you know, we did something big together.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
That really changed the narrative for both of us.
Right.
But before that... So, tell me something. When did you start? Because you're in mixed martial arts, right?
Correct.
So, when did you start? When did you get into this?
I got into mixed martial arts when I was nine.
Mm-mm. Nine years old.
9 years old.
Okay.
My father, me and my brother. My brother was, I think he was 12 at the time, maybe 11. Shout out to my brother, Callie.
Yeah.
We got into mixed martial arts. My father put us in it. He wanted us to develop discipline, confidence, focus. You know, all those things that's associated with martial arts. We played sports growing up through the years. And one thing about sports and teams, and I'm very competitive, but my father wanted to instill that leadership quality in myself so I don't get caught up in the other person. I needed to focus on myself, the individual.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt that martial arts was going to be able to strengthen my individual self, which in turn could strengthen a team if I was on a team or, you know, but he wanted me to have that confidence about myself. Whereas, you know, I was able to defend myself. I didn't have to look to the other person to fill a void. And sometimes with a lot of things going on, it's like we always trying to compete with someone that's, you know, someone that's, that's whether they're next to us, or we always find ourselves competing or trying to, you know, portray something that is not necessarily us.
Yeah.
So you got to have that foundation within, you know, within yourself. So that's why I started martial arts. And then, you know, we just took it from there.
So you felt, were you upset that your dad put you, because, you know, sometimes parents put your kid.
Oh, yeah. I hate it.
Did you get upset that?
Yeah, I didn't like it at first.
You didn't like it at first?
No, I didn't like it at first.
Huh. Interesting.
It took a couple months for me to like it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They didn't like it.
Like, why? You mean like people like trying to push you down?
You know, it wasn't really that. I think it was more so I came from a very strict instructor.
Got it.
You know, he was. You know, if you didn't listen, you would be on the. If you didn't do well in school, he'd put you on cinder blocks with your feet up on a chair, holding that push up position. And I've saw kids just arms trembling, crying, and I'm like, I don't want to be that kid.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So I tried everything what I had to do not to be that kid, not to be in that position.
So that's interesting.
I mean?
If you didn't do good in school,
right?
He punished you in your
class. And then you would be at the front of the class. So it was kind of embarrassing, too. So that's
interesting, man, because, like, parents should actually put their kids in school, in this type of school, because, I never joined one. My parents weren't like that.
Right.
I wish they were.
Right.
Right? But they didn't put me in any of those groups, you know, or classes. They put me in basketball because, you know, my mom was really nervous.
Right.
So she wanted to shelter me from everything, right?
Right.
So, but I wish I knew that because I would have been like, huh? Because that's why you see the people who practice martial arts, practice karate.
Right.
They really do well in school, but it's not really, maybe they're not scared of their parents, they're scared of their sensei.
Yeah, they're scared of their sensei. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I have a school. I've owned my school for, 7 years now. I would never do something like that because I know I wouldn't have any kids that would come back to class.
Yeah.
Especially with the location where I'm in. But it's funny. It's funny growing up seeing that.
Yeah.
It gave you
the discipline.
Gave me the discipline.
So, okay, 9 years old.
Yeah.
You started. You didn't like it.
Right.
You kept going.
Yeah. That's the only reason I kept going. My father wouldn't quit.
He wouldn't quit. Was he in martial arts?
He wasn't. He was in the army.
He was in the army.
He
knew.
Yeah.
What martial arts did.
Correct.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah,
cause I'm like, what made him think of that?
Right.
You know?
Right. He was definitely, and he was in the army, for a number of years. And then he was an accountant on Wall Street.
Yeah.
So he worked long hours. So, and it was my mom and, you know, there was five of us. I'm not sure if you remember this.
Yeah,
I'm the youngest out of five kids.
Yep.
So my mom at the time, she's taking care of five of us and there's three boys, two girls in the house. So that's a tough, you know,
tough thing to do.
Oh, yeah. So
all different personalities,
Oof. All different ages. And, you know, the two youngest boys, you know, we pretty much drove her through the wall. So my father was like, nah, we're going to give him that structure. If I'm not home, I need somebody in his life to check these two boys.
I like that, man.
Yeah.
Applaud to your dad, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely.
So now fast forward, let's talk about college, right?
Right.
So you're in college. You went to school in Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
You're from Queens.
From Queens.
Grew up in Queens.
Yep.
You went to school in Long Island. Now you're in a different atmosphere, right?
Correct.
Because your neighborhood didn't look like how your school was.
Right.
Right?
Right. Correct.
So that was through the years.
Throughout the years, I think starting junior high school. You know, I was around other ethnicities.
Got it.
You know, and so
you were exposed to different groups of people.
I was exposed to the good, I was exposed to the bad.
Yeah.
From early. I knew what it was from by the time I was in 7th, 8th grade.
Yeah.
I remember specifically going to Kellenberg, getting accepted to Kellenberg,
mm-hmm.
and one of the parents said, "You'll never make it in Kellenberg."
Wow.
To me, she said, "You'll never make it in Kellenberg. My son failed out. You won't make it." And she was of another ethnicity, and I was like, then I was like, "What?
What?
What you mean?"
She said, "Wait."
She said it to me. Yeah.
Her son failed.
Her son got kicked out.
Got kicked out of school. How was she there? Like, why was she?
She was a parent of one kid that was in my class.
Oh. Yeah,
that wasn't going to Kellenberg. I guess her son was maybe, I'm not sure what school he was going to, but she felt the need to tell me, "You ain't going to make it there."
Wow. You know where were your parents?
My parents are probably home.
Oh, they weren't there. Oh, this was like during.
No, this was like while I'm in school. This is like maybe whether it's at the playground or after school and I'm waiting for the bus to go home. Yeah, she felt the need. Like, yeah.
Came up to you.
Yeah, so
how did that make you feel, bro?
Oh man, I mean, at the time I was kind of just a little confused. I didn't really know what to take of it.
Like, yeah, you
know,
like what do you mean by that?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I didn't really know what that meant exactly.
Got it. Yeah, you now know, you then, do.
Now I do. I was black yeah. and white. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was.
Yeah.
And then you know in Kellenberg, yeah, of course it was. We're mixed, but there was a few of us that, you know, stayed together. But it was.
Yeah,
it was a great experience because it's teaching me how to be around anyone. You know, it
tells be a chameleon.
Be a chameleon.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. Adapt. Back. To your environment.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I come from all Haitian, you know, all black island.
Right.
Moved to Brooklyn, all black island again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I lived in Flatbush.
Yeah.
But when my parents moved me to Deer Park.
Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, I remember my first day. You remember when you opened the door? Like, they used to keep the new kid outside the door. And then they would, like, say, okay, we have a new student.
Right.
And they opened the door.
Absolutely.
One of the students, I'm not going to say her name. I remember it. But she was like, another black boy? And I was like, what? I went home and I was like, why did she say that to me? My mom was like, at that point.
Right.
That's when she was like, okay.
She broke it down.
Let's do this.
Right.
And let's talk real.
Right.
You have to work. She was like, even if you see another black boy in your class or whatever, you have to work 10 times as hard as that person because you're different. And I was like, why am I different? You know, and she was like, because you're from the Caribbean, you know, and you need to work harder because you don't have an advantage because you weren't born here. You weren't born in this country. So you don't even have the same, you don't even have the same rights as them.
Absolutely.
As the people that were born here.
Absolutely.
So you have to work harder so that you could even maintain because they know more than you.
Yep.
You know? Okay. So throughout this time, you're still in martial arts, right?
Correct.
Did you, what accomplishments did you, I know that you went to the Olympics.
Correct.
What age was that?
So 2007, I got into the Martial Arts Olympics, and I was blessed to be around individuals that were at a high level. One of the individuals, which is my mentor right now, his name is Jody Tension. Jody Tension. Yeah, Jody Tension is my instructor. He was my instructor at the time. Still to this day, he's my instructor, but he's my mentor. He's like my brother. He's the person that I look to for advice, especially with the
martial. He has a place in the Bronx, right?
He has a school in the Bronx. He does extremely well for himself, like 300 students. This guy has, you know, two sprinters, you know, Mercedes sprinters or whatever. Yeah, you know what I mean? He has after-school programs. He's really doing it at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
And I was training under him. And, you know, I was doing really well going, competing at tournaments, going to different places, getting flown around the world, you know, fighting in Mexico, different places. And he put me in contact with this guy, Tico.
Mm-hmm.
Tico was putting together a team or had a team called Team NYC at the time. Team NYC at the time was Jody, another top fighter right now. His name is Russ Levine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these guys are from TCK. TCK is Jody's school in the Bronx. So we would train. He said, look, I need the guys. We're going to go over to Russia. We're going to go to Russia and we're going to fight in Russia. So to me, I'm maybe 22, 23 uh-huh. at the time. And I'm ready to go anywhere. It doesn't matter. He's telling me to go to Russia to fight. I don't care where I'm going.
Yeah.
Just let me know where I got to sign. So anyway, this is all ideas, speculation. Next thing you know, man, he's like, all right, give me a passport. We got to send in for the visa. All right, send him the passport. Next thing you know, I got a visa.
Uh-huh.
Now, next thing you know, we got the tickets. You know, I didn't have to put up any money. Now it's going to be me, Jody,
mm-hmm.
Ross. We're going to Russia, Tico, and another guy, Willette. And we're on a plane to Russia to fight for the USA team. So it was amazing.
Wow.
And here we get there.
22 years old.
22, 23 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All because martial arts. And I'm still working in the bank.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still at the bank.
Oh, you're still there?
Still at the bank. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Still at the bank. And but I'm at the bank and I'm flying different places, mm-hmm. you know. We're in Russia, we fight, you know. I fight like the Russian champ. I lose like to me it was a win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To me they robbed me.
You got silver.
I got a silver medal.
Yeah, I
got a silver medal that
you didn't
day.
Lose. I mean, you got second place, right?
Second place. Yeah, yeah. I didn't lose.
You didn't lose.
Yeah.
You won, man, because
a lot
of people, listen to this, man. There's so many people that don't even get an opportunity to get to that part.
Right.
So how could you have really lost when you really won?
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
You never gave up.
Right.
You started something at 9 years old,
right,
and you never gave up.
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, like, I never want to hear you say, You lost.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You didn't lose,
no,
right?
No, you're absolutely right.
And the funny thing is, I heard you say that in another interview, and I was like, he was like, yeah, I lost. I was like, I got to check it, but I see it. And then you said it again just now.
Absolutely. You see that?
So,
and that's the power. Of,
yeah. So now, nah, man, you didn't lose, bro.
No, I didn't. Because
You might have got second. And the thing is, I get why you're saying that.
Right.
Because you're like, I lost because of, you know, I got second place.
Right.
And I know me and you come from that culture of, no participation trophies.
Exactly.
So I know you're like, I lost because I didn't get
second place is only a first place loser.
Exactly. But as far as your accomplishments, bro,
right?
Like,
absolutely.
You didn't lose, right?
Yeah, because the experience was great. We went to an orphanage.
Amazing.
Went to an orphanage. We gave out, you know, we donated gifts to kids. It was such a beautiful experience. You know what I mean? We were signing autographs, like, you know, people just wanted to see martial artists from
America,
United States, from America. And then we're African-American martial artists, too. So they were just like, whoa.
Whoa.
Like, you know.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan.
And, you know, you're like Michael Jordan.
And they didn't even speak any English. They didn't know who we were. And when, you know, we fly back to New York, and then we're like nobody. So it's like, you know, you know, that's just how.
That's how it is, man.
You go to different cultures. We got to experience that.
Yeah. Man, you can experience that. In Queens. You go to Queens in some neighborhoods and people are like, oh my God, Michael Jordan? Kobe Bryant?
Yeah.
You know, you know, and then all of a sudden you go back home and they're like, yo man, get off my block, you know? So, but that's cool, man. So, but then the following year you go back.
Following year we go back. And then we go back with a new set of people. But, you know, I go back with a chip on my shoulder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's, It was amazing when we went back. You know, we went back. We had another team. A UFC fighter, Sage Northcutt, was on that team. We had a top competitors in sport karate was on that team.
Okay.
And we got a gold medal when we fought the Russian team and
first place.
See? Yeah, we came in first place.
See?
And that was thanks to like Tico, and he arranged it, and Tony Abel and a bunch of other different guys from the States. And you know, they really set it up pretty nicely, and we did our thing.
Yep. Yeah. Now, this is something, because I like to put things into, it's all about mindset, right?
Correct.
So now, something that you, just the story you're sharing, right, shows mindset, where you could have, some people would have went, got second place, and was like, I lost. I'm not, how long is that flight?
That flight was 9 hours?
Nine, 10 hours. Yeah. I'm not flying 9 hours going through all this again, even though you didn't pay for it, but I'm not going through this again to get second place.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I'm not trying again.
Yep.
So it shows your heart, it shows your determination, your passion for the craft.
Right.
And you're like, your will to win.
Yep.
You see, you said something interesting. You like, I went with a chip on my shoulder,
right,
even though it was a different team. So they didn't even have that chip.
Right.
They were excited for the moment that you shared last year.
Yep.
But you weren't like, yo, I'm going for the win. I'm going for that gold.
Right.
You know, and in life, I think in your business, in business period.
Yep.
You do that too. You're like, look, I'm not. This year might have been this, but next year is going to be better.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, now, since you said you were in the bank, right, at the same time, so you worked, you were a banker at Chase, right?
I was a banker first. I was a customer service rep first at Dime Savings
Bank. Oh, Dime Savings Bank.
And then I got promoted into a, like a customer service kind of, role. No, actually a sales role with Washington Mutual.
You know, okay, yeah, Washington conversion. Mutual.
So I was a banker at Washington Mutual.
Uh-huh.
And then a buddy of mine left and went to Chase.
Got it.
When he left and went to Chase, he said, Mark, these guys at Chase, they're the real deal. They're paying you a lot more. Everything is just better on the other side. I can put you in contact with the manager.
Yeah.
I remember the guy's name is Saif. And Saif, he said, maybe as soon as he got off the phone, maybe like the next day, I got a phone call from the manager at Chase. Like, look. And at the time, I'm working in Green Acres Mall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm sitting at the front desk. Everyone's looking at me like, how old is this kid? How old are you? You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's, you know, my suits were baggy. Like, I didn't know about, you know, how to dress, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But I knew I was hungry. I knew I was aggressive. I knew I was passionate. I knew I liked to sell, you know. So I get the call from Saif. And Saif, you know, he interviews me. And he goes, I like you. You know, and I'm pretty much sure I'm saying all the wrong things. But he must have liked my energy. You know, I like you. So he hired me. And I remember that day. I think it's, you know, but we hired me for a position on the Upper West Side in the city in Manhattan. And I'm from Queens. You know, I went to school in Long Island, but as you know, city life and living in Queens is a little bit different, you know what I mean? So I remember when I got trained to work in the city, I remember I didn't have enough money to buy a Chase shirt, because you had to buy your
you
own Chase
shirt. You have to buy your own shirt?
Yeah, you had to buy your own shirts.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So being that I was
Come on,
from
Chase,
Washington,
you can do better than that, bro.
Right? So being that I was in Washington Mutual and we had a blue shirt, I just put my, we had to wear a black suit. So I wore my black suit over my Washington Mutual shirt to Chase.
Wow. Yeah. Do what so, you got to do.
Right. Just because I didn't have enough money to pay for it at the time. Cause I just got hired, you know? And, so I remember I'm sitting across the desk from my boss and I reach down into my drawer cause he's training me. Mm-hmm. Right. So we're sitting just like how we're sitting here. So he's training me. So we're sitting here. Cross the face to face like this, and I reached down into my drawer, and he saw the Washington Mutual logo on my shirt. Mind you, we're in Chase, and he looked at me. He gets frazzled. He goes, "Mark, what do you wear? What do you wear?" Right?
Really?
He's like, "Yeah." He gets mad. He's like, "You know what? What are you doing?" I was like, "I don't have enough money for shirts." So I think he may have spotted me some money.
Yeah.
Or maybe bought a couple shirts for me on a corporate card or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so then I was like, okay, I'm good. You know what I mean? But it shows the, I was going to make it work. If you wanted me to wear a blue shirt and I didn't have a blue shirt, I was going to improvise. Guess what? I'm going to wear that blue shirt. Now you didn't tell me what, you didn't tell me what kind of blue shirt I had to wear. You know what I mean? But that just goes to show that you kind of got to think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had to think outside the box in life. And I had to figure out a way to make things work.
Yeah.
Especially when you're presented with an opportunity where you are, you may not say, and the thing about it that I don't like, what I hear people say a lot, is that they don't have money. They let money dictate them not doing something.
Doing something. Mm.
They could be passionate, or it bothers me because it's like, I've met so many talented people. Like, for example, like you can have an aunt, right? Let's say I'm saying an aunt, just for example.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Her cooking is phenomenal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Auntie, your cooking is phenomenal. Next thing you say, you should get a what? You should get a restaurant.
Restaurant, yeah.
Uh-huh. Right? You should get a restaurant, Auntie. No, I don't have the money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right, Auntie. Auntie's just going to have the best food for the house. No one else is gonna know about Auntie's food. Auntie's gonna keep the recipes to herself.
Yep.
Never get passed down. Next thing you know, Auntie had the best lasagna in the house. Now we gotta, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
it dies with her.
It dies with her. You know what I mean? Or you know,
they say the grave sites.
Right.
I mean, or the graveyard has all the best ideas.
Yeah. Yeah.
They get buried with them.
Absolutely.
You know, and so
absolutely.
there's people like us that are trailblazers.
Right.
And there's people like, you know, especially like you.
Right.
So at your time at Chase, you excelled.
Right.
You did amazing numbers. I remember having conversations with you like every month where you're like, yeah, I hit my goals. I went to exceed. I'm like killing them right now. And
I was crushing it. Chase.
And one day I called you. I was passionate.
Yeah.
And I called you and I had an opportunity.
Right.
And I said, man, I don't know what to do. And I called my boy and I didn't call you I was calling you to vent.
Right. Right.
And you're like, yo, come to the city. Tell me more. So I went, we met up and I was telling you my situation. I was like, yo, I got this comedy show. I want to produce. And I was like, I'm short and I need this. And I have this opportunity. You're like, bro. Tell me how much you need. And I was like, I need this. And you're like, okay, let me know what is done. I got you. I was like, huh? And that brought me back to that when you, Rudy was his name.
Rudy was in the air. Rudy. Wow, that's funny.
My bad.
Rudy.
Yeah. So now it was a time when you protected me and had my back with Rudy.
Right.
Now all of a sudden you have my back again with Live
Comedy
Nation,
show.
Kevin Hart, all these people, because they were expecting me to let us go away. You know what I mean? And then you were like, nah. So between you, my wife, me, we all put in and we put the show together. And it was a success.
Yep.
Right? And I remember having a conversation with you a little bit after that. And you said to me, Gene, you inspired me. I think I was in my office in Williamsburg. And you said, you inspired me to do something and follow my vision and my dream.
Right.
I said, what's that, Mark? You're like, I'm starting a dojo.
Right.
I said, oh, okay, cool. You're like, but I'm quitting my job. I was like, whoa. You're like, well, I was like, no, don't do that.
Same thing my father said.
And you like, yo, I'm quitting my job. I don't care. I'm tired of working in the bank. They can get rid of me at any point. Like, I'm literally like hitting my numbers, and I have a feeling that they're about to cut people.
Right.
And so I don't want to be in that position.
Right.
And I remember this conversation because I was like, Mark's about to quit his job. I was 2 years in with marriage.
Right.
And you were like, yo, looking at you, always going after your dreams and going after your goals and really not being capped, because I was a banker too before. And so I was like, so I said, if you really want to do this and you really want to accomplish this goal and really start this business,
right,
bro, you always have my back. I got yours.
That's right.
Because people need a support system.
Correct.
Even if it's, I remember I met this millionaire, the guy who made this little, it was like a little trampoline, right? They, mm-hmm. They used to sell on like, late nights, you know, it was like a workout thing.
Right.
And this guy said, as long as you add value to someone, as long as you're not always taking and you're giving,
right?
Every relationship is give and take.
That's right.
Right? As long as it's give and take, but it gets disgusting or it gets really bad when it's always take.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So when you give, take, and he was like, as a millionaire, he was talking about me and my boys that were in the Hamptons with him. He was like, you guys can't give me money.
Right.
But you could give me conversation.
Absolutely.
You could give me some advice that of maybe a culture that I don't know.
Right.
You could tell me about certain things that I'm not a privy to.
That's right.
So you could add something to me so you could give me something that I can't have.
That's right.
So in business, and especially with you, when I heard that, I was like, yeah, I got to add value as much as I can. If it's putting on Facebook, telling my cousins, like, bring your kids when they get of age to his shop.
Right.
When talking about it all the time, like, to different people, telling your story.
Yeah.
Right. Without you being there. You know what I mean? And giving you praise at different places all the time.
Right.
I remember even at that, at the night of the Kevin Hart thing.
Right.
Sold out 3,000 people. Well, 3,200 people. I was like, shout out to my man Mark.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Do you remember you bringing me to the back?
Yeah.
Mark, let's go. And you introduced me to Kevin Hart.
Yep.
And I he said something. He said, you look like Tony. Wait, what did he say I look like? One of the R&B singers.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
But he was in the back with no shirt on, just warming up. And anybody just got it.
Yeah.
He just snapped on you at the second he saw you.
Kevin,
and that's how
crazy.
He warmed up. You know what I mean? It was crazy. But it goes to show is with you is anytime I'm around you, I feel you make me feel like a part. Like, you know, whatever it is, it's and I love that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even at the 40/40, the premiere.
Yeah, for the launch of the podcast.
The launch, you know, just pulling me up. That's, you know, that's awesome. Just because I support anything that you do, you support all that I do.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely,
what I mean?
Man.
And that's how it has to be.
No.
There's no ego, you know what I mean?
Bro, it's like, this is not a competition thing. Like,
right.
I put on Facebook, like, or Instagram, I put real friends,
right?
Because there's a difference. There's people that I was around that were just literally around me just because I could give them something.
Right.
Right? And
of
I didn't
course.
Know that.
Yeah.
So I was giving.
Right.
But I was thinking that they were my friends.
Right.
But they really weren't.
Right.
Because as soon as I stopped giving, they stopped coming around.
Right.
They didn't even come to the launch.
Right.
And so that shows me that, wow, that's what you call opportunists.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And you got to be able to separate
the two. You have to separate those two.
And the reason being is also because this is your business, you know, and no one's going to do your business like you do your business.
Absolutely not.
You know, and the key is to find individuals that are able to enhance your business. And they see the value and the potential, and that they can't be selfish with it. You know, understand what I'm saying? You have to operate as a unit. You understand? And attack whatever goals that you have set forth. And that's what business is about. Business about is identifying individuals with these qualities. It's like a balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't do it all. We know that for sure. No. You need a team.
You can't do it by yourself.
Right. But then again, the team has to be held accountable as well. You know what I mean? And you have to hold yourself. And with me, within my business, I went through ups and downs with the business. And I was wondering, why am I going through ups and downs? It's him. He's the reason. And then I actually had a consultant. Her name is Lisa. Right? I brought Lisa into the business, and Lisa was a consultant, and Lisa was one of my students. And I said, Lisa, I need you to help me, right? Because I feel like the business is going in a direction, but it's not the direction where I want it to go, and I need help.
Yeah.
Because I made mistakes during the past, and a lot of it, well, actually, the brunt of it was my mistakes. You know, because you go through life thinking, oh, I'm the man, I'm the boss, and the boss is actually making the business hurt.
Yeah.
You absolutely. Know what I mean? So you have to bring someone in. When I brought Lisa in, she was like, okay. And she came from completely, and she's a student.
Yeah.
You know, so, and she's a parent. You know, her kids go to the dojo. Her two kids are here. But she put down a game plan. And that's the thing about it. When I worked in the bank, one thing that I lacked was organization.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I opened my business, I said, look, I'm going to open this business and I'm going to be the boss. Mind you, I was a VP at JP Morgan. I was a VP.
Yeah.
I had a nice title. I was getting six figures, but I lacked organization. When I went and opened my own business, guess what? I'm now a president. I'm CEO.
CEO. Founder.
Founder. Owner. Right?
All
the great titles. However, guess what I still lacked?
Organization.
And that's the thing where, so now what do I have to do as an owner to organize the business? Because I lack it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to now identify.
Yep, self-awareness.
Identify. Got to hold myself accountable. I got to be honest with myself. I want other people to be honest too.
Mm-hmm.
How come I got to be honest with myself? I say, look, this is my downfall. So I have to bring in someone that can fill that.
Yep.
Someone that's their strength.
Yeah.
Is organization.
Yeah. You focus. Couple key things, takeaways from this, right? One, you realize you know what your strengths are.
Correct.
Right? You're in love with mixed martial arts.
That's right.
You're in love with, you know, helping people with discipline. We got that, right? But you definitely noticed something that you were lacking in.
Right.
Because a lot of people wouldn't even make that realization.
Correct.
It's easy to point out. It's
correct.
Hard to point in.
Hard. But it's so valuable.
It's so necessary.
So necessary.
Self-awareness is how you become Superman, right? And self-awareness is when you're the superhero, right? And you want to operate on that level,
right?
You have to be self-aware, because once you're self-aware of something, you're able to conquer it.
Right.
Because like you said, you know what? I'm not even going to focus on my weakness,
right?
I'll just hire someone that could focus on that strength, that organization.
That's
because I'm a doer.
Right.
So I'll keep doing my thing.
Right.
And I'll bring this person in to organize.
Right.
And because of that structure,
right,
we'll be able to move to the next level.
Absolutely.
And that's why you're in business 7 years.
Right.
Because a lot of people, and I applaud you. Everybody applaud. All right. So if you're wondering, you know, we have some of Mark's students and some special guests in the building.
Absolutely.
Right? So applause to them, because they've been so patient. Applause to you guys. Good job. And we'll talk about them in a few minutes.
Absolutely.
But so you focused on your strength, right?
Right.
And once you focus on your strength and you understand that part, you're able to navigate. And able to go to another level, you know what I'm saying? Which is important in business. So now, you see, now we gave them attention. Now it's like, oh, time to play.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, what was I going to say to you? So now that you brought in someone, oh, here's what I was saying. Sorry. Well, the cool thing about having a podcast is this, right? you can lose track and go back.
Nice.
There's nobody telling me what I need to do and what I need to say and censor me, right? And censor us,
right?
So this is real, right? This is the real. This is how podcasts are, nice. Right? But anyway, this is my point that I was saying to you. A lot of people leave their business, leave their 9-to-5 job, right? Unprepared. Right. And I want to talk to you about how did you
the transition. Oh, yeah. The transition.
But
was
we're going to
key.
Talk about that. But
yeah,
a lot of people don't make it past 2 years.
Correct.
Right. You literally you didn't leave your job and start like training out of your home.
No,
you just bought a house. You just bought your first place.
Yeah.
And then you leave your job.
Yeah.
Right. And that's probably why a lot of people thought you were crazy.
Right.
And you were like, no, I believe this is going to work because it's on me.
Yeah.
Right?
Faith.
So faith. And then you put in the work, which is the grind, and now you're inspiring people.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, hence, Faith Grind Inspire. Right?
Right.
This is why I believe everybody has this.
Right.
And that's why I want to bring people that share this story.
Right.
Right? But now tell me about that transition, right, between from that mindset. How did you know, because 9-to-5, you have to commute from
at the time I was
from,
in Long Island,
from your place to Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to work a certain number of hours. You know you had this much lunch break. You know how much you were getting paid at the end of the week.
Yep.
You know, if you know, you knew all your numbers, right?
Correct.
Now just leaving that, going into getting your space, like, how scary was that, knowing that you needed a certain number of kids to pay bills? Like, I'm curious on how that first 2 months.
Well, okay, so when I was in the bank,
mm-hmm.
I was planning my exit.
Oh, okay.
So one of my, because I was I worked with business clients. So one of my business clients was a consultant. Her name is Randy Epstein.
Got it.
And Randy Epstein was a new consultant, but she was in the Upper West Side, so she knew her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So she was very much like Lisa. So when I left the bank, or while I was leaving, I was having meetings with her.
Mm.
And I was paying her maybe, I don't know, I was paying like $100 an hour, so $100 a session, to organize myself as far as business plan, as far as numbers, as far as what's needed in order to run a successful business, as far as, you know, me fighting and the payouts I would get from that, and putting it all together to see what my plan was when I exited. So I met with her. So that I didn't just go cold turkey. You know what I mean? I kind of had that in
because
place.
Because we hear stories about people. Yeah, I just quit my job.
Yeah,
and I'm going
right.
into business.
Right.
But then this is why, you see, this is the crucial part. This is why I like the show.
Right.
Because this is the crucial part, that the non-fluff part that
right.
people talk about.
Of course.
Where it's like, okay, I quit my job, but you said something interesting. While I was at my job, I hired a consultant to help me
exactly.
formulate a plan of a business plan for not just to present to a lender to
right.
give me money,
right.
but how am I going to make money?
Yeah.
How many people do I need to have in my dojo to
right.
pay rent?
Of course.
You know what I mean?
And that's a business
to pay
plan.
Pay my mortgage.
You know, you need a business plan in order to open a business,
mm-hmm.
you know, or you should have a business plan in order to open a business. And so, and then another thing is that at the time I had a 1-bedroom apartment. I was single, or maybe I had a girlfriend at the time or something like that.
In Laurentian.
Yeah. And no, I was in Valley Stream. I moved
Valley
out.
Stream.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a 1-bedroom apartment, Valley Stream. I lived up right up top of my sister. My sister had like a 3-bedroom downstairs. So we rented a house, you know what I mean? And,
oh,
and
yeah,
so we
yeah.
were, so I was there. So I had, and I was making good money. So I had a retirement set up because I was in the bank for, let's say, maybe 6-7 years at the time. So I had money. So that's another thing. You guys got to save, you know, you got to save, max out 401ks, all that stuff. So I had a nest egg. So when I left, I left with a business plan.
Mm-hmm.
I left with money in the bank. I had my house, and I was looking to, I actually didn't start opening the gym until maybe a year later, a year maybe a year or two later. So, and which hurt me, which hurt me, because now if I had not, if I just jumped right into the business from there, I would have been better off. But I took a year off. I'm like, I'm just going to take some time off. So I've been working.
You took a year off.
A year off.
And lived off of.
And I lived up and I lived and I had fun. You know what I mean? Yeah. I had fun. I lived in.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. I remember. Absolutely. So I had fun. And, but that fun, it comes, is expensive. You know, you do all the things that you're not supposed to be doing as far as. Yeah, you get it out your system. I'm like 25 at the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, I had like two or three cars or whatever. And that was how I was moving, you know? So I opened the business, and I remember at the time I was going to open a business, go into business with someone else. And I decided to go into business for myself. And I think I had like 30,000 or something like that, 30 or 40,000, that I was going to just throw into the business to fix it up and just get all the material and all that stuff. So, I opened the gym and I operated. And one of the things where it goes back to that lack of organization was something that stayed with me. You understand what I'm saying? Where I now have a business, and because my own ego, I'm just going to go based off of my talent. I'm just going to, you know, like how I did a lot of different things. Even at the bank, I was like, I went off of my talent. You know, I like to talk to people. I like to, you know what I mean? I knew the job itself. But when it came down to paperwork, I remember the paperwork. I hated it. My manager was like, where's the paperwork? I'm like, what you need the paperwork for? What
you need the paperwork? You need the paperwork.
Look at this deal I just did. Like, you know, what do you need the paperwork for? So it came down to it. And that's where, you know, you got to hold yourself accountable. It took a couple years in order for me to figure things out. But like I said before, you have to have certain things in place. You got to have your plan in place. Got to have your mentors in place. If you're not around people that are doing it, people that are doing it better than you. And that's a lot of the times people don't like to be around people that are doing it. Sometimes they feel upset.
Yeah.
Of course you can feel upset. That's fine. But you got to understand that there's so much knowledge and growth from that, from having a mentor, from having someone doing better than you. You know what I mean?
That's how you grow, man. Like, a lot of times, a lot of people, and that's what holds people back from really greatness.
Yep.
Like, people come to me and, you know, consult with me, and they, like, I want to open up, let's use that auntie.
Yeah.
Right? So auntie wants to open up, she said, you know what, I want to open up a restaurant. Because everyone's telling her, you should open up a restaurant, right?
Right.
And, you know, and if she's religious like I am, or she basically would be like, you know what, because I believe that God speaks to you through other people if you don't listen.
Right.
So auntie must have heard that message, and then auntie heard that message, and then all of a sudden she didn't go and take action. Then you said it, then I said it, then someone else said it. So she's like, you know what, fine, let me listen to God,
right?
Let me listen to the Spirit and go for it. So she would come to me as a consultant and say, Gene, I want to open a restaurant. I'm like, have you ever, I know you like to cook.
Right.
But first question I would say is, I'll ask her, is have you ever worked in a restaurant before?
Right.
And she was like, no. I'm like, what I think you should do is go work in a restaurant, whatever position.
Makes sense.
And you don't have to cook.
Right.
But work there.
Right.
Just to see
how it's run. Yeah.
Because restaurants is one of the hardest businesses because.
Yeah, the turnover rate. Yeah,
the turnover rate. They close right away.
Yeah, I don't know if it's over.
And it's because there's so much that goes into it, and so many moving parts.
Right.
There's theft. There's the health department. There's food. There's waste. People stealing money from you.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's a cash business.
Right.
Your employees, workers' comp. Like, there's so.
So you're a consultant, so you know this stuff too.
Yeah.
Because you've helped me out with a couple projects, and you've told me the right things to do with my business.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So yeah, it's tough,
man. You know, and so I want people to win.
Absolutely.
You know, so at the end of the day, like, you know, if you don't have, I'm so happy that you shared that part about, you know, you had a plan and you hired people while you're in transition, because a lot of people get hype. Let's use auntie again.
Right.
So everyone's telling, yeah, auntie, you cook the best baked ziti or whatever it is. You should open a restaurant.
Yeah, that's true.
And
it's
the
probably,
whole family
puts
in money.
Yeah, that's
and they give the money to auntie because they're like, yo, we're going to make so much money off of auntie, quote unquote, right? So they go out and they give her the money. They open up the restaurant. They open up the restaurant. And then all of a sudden, they fail. They realize that auntie doesn't know how to do books. Nobody in the family knows how to do books.
True.
Nobody knows how to order. So people are ordering. You ever been to a restaurant? How many times have you been to a restaurant and you ask for something that's on the menu?
Yep.
Rice and peas?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we don't have any rice and peas.
Rice and peas, done.
Rice and peas. Like, okay. Do you have chicken? No
done.
Chicken.
Done.
You have fish? No chicken. No fish. No nothing.
Right.
And you're like, yo, how?
Right.
Do you, how is it that you go into some restaurants, and they always have all the food that's listed?
Right.
And then you go to some other restaurants, it's because there's a mismanagement of something. They don't anticipate this. They're still hustling, right? They're not really running a business. They're hustling. Someone said that they're good at something. They open it up, but they're not calculating. Okay. And they don't know their numbers. They don't know their averages, right? So they don't understand that, okay, we had on a particular day, we have 100 people. Out of this 100 people, 60 people, well, 80 people asked for rice and peas. Out of those 80 people, 40 of them asked for chicken. So let's make sure that we have 50%, right? To at least if we have some shortage, figure out a way to, there's so many homeless people. There's so many people that need that need food. Figure out a way to give back of the, instead of wasting it, you could donate it to a charity or something, or a shelter.
Right. Right.
So you don't have to waste food.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
But anyway, I'll talk about restaurants all day, man.
Yeah.
Because I consult with a lot of restaurant owners. But so back to you, right? So now you're based on this interview that I heard, right? You fought in November of 2017.
Correct.
That wasn't your last fight, was it?
No.
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 You fought because that fight, that interview that I listened to.
Yeah.
You were like, "This might be my last fight." You were like, "You're gonna whip this kid's butt," and you did, right? Did you win?
In 2017,
yeah,
I don't. I think
it was November.
Was it November? Was that my last fight? I think that might.
It was like a 22-year-old kid. You were like, he's a brawler.
Right.
He was like, he has a right hook, a left hook. I forgot his name, but
he was supposed to
fight one of your other students, but the kid didn't have the paperwork.
So that fight
got canceled, and then they called you up, and they were like, you should fight him.
You remember when I fought last? Was it this year or last year? I think, the one last year, I think that was my last fight.
That was your last fight?
I think that was.
Okay.
And I won a belt.
Yeah, I won the belt.
Yeah, and I was basically saying, yes, that the kid is a brawler. And yeah, so I, but they switched the opponent on me.
Oh, they switched the opponent?
Yeah.
Because maybe for...
And they gave me a tougher opponent. And, you know, so I won, definitely won. And it was a hard fight, but it was one of the best feelings. This is what I love to do. You know what I mean?
Got it.
Because I just came over a hip, you know, I had a hip replacement surgery, you know that.
Yeah.
You know, eye socket. So I've been through a lot of different injuries and stuff like that. But, So absolutely.
Okay.
I think that's going to be my last fight because you know what? I've been through so much.
Yeah.
I've accomplished so much and I may not have accomplished as much as someone else.
Yeah.
I've accomplished more than other people. But at this point in time, it's just like, I got two boys, you know, I got Cardin, I got Kaysen, then I have so many students and, you know, I have like a club
mm-hmm.
and I call it the Black Belt Club and my Black Belt Club are like my special, special kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The ones that really are serious and passionate about training,
yeah.
just like how I was when I was coming up and, you know, and the Black Belt Club is like a leadership club. You know what I mean? All of them aren't black belts. It's I want the kids
I'm grooming them
to adopt that black belt personality where they get knocked down, they overcome, they experience something that's a little bit negative, to for them to not just you know, succumb to it, but to overcome it, you know what I mean? Yeah. To keep pushing through, because that's how life is. I remember so many different times. My life is a testimony of all the things that I overcame, you know what I mean? And so I have now these group of kids, and these are some of them. These are some of them that I'm molding them to be young leaders and young, and not just young leaders as far as martial arts. It's about life. And now, you know, I have two of my guys, Nigel and Nathaniel. They now work there. So they're students. They came from, I think they started at what age?
Seven,
you guys come over here real quick. Come over here. Yeah, this is Nigel. Nigel started at, how old, Nigel? He started when he was seven. Yeah, so he started at 7, 8. Nathaniel, he started at 8. So like the same time. And now how old are you guys? 14, high school. They teach the 3-4-year-olds, the 7 to 10-year-olds. Wow. They teach, they clean, they you know, I pay them, you know, they save their money, mm-hmm. you know.
Showing the same principles your sensei taught you when you were 9 years old.
Absolutely.
That's what success is.
That's what it's about.
That's what it's about. So Mark, we could talk all day.
Absolutely.
Tell me where people can find you.
Yes.
What's your website? What's your social handles?
All right. So, you could find me, my website is www.omakarate.com. That's OMMAkarate.com. My, Instagram is @omakarate.com. At omakarate, @OMMAkarate. Twitter, omajim, OMMAjim. I just want to real quick introduce, Bianca, one of my purple belts. She's in the Black Belt Club. Her little brother, Marcus. Marcus is 6 years old, red belt, junior red belt, skip purple. We have Anaton Collins over here, six years old, junior brown belt.
Wow.
We have Anike Collins, his older sister, 8 years old, junior brown belt as well. And then we have my son, Cardin Ethan Omar, all right? And he's a junior blue belt as well. And these guys came on the train from the Long Island Railroad just so that they can come and visit Gene Alert on this podcast, Faith, Grind, Inspire. And hopefully I'm trying to promote that awareness to the future of these young kids to faith, grind, and inspire other kids so that this is what it's about. You know what I mean? And I thank you, Gene, for the opportunity.
Thank you. This is what it's all about. It's inspiring the next generation.
Absolutely.
So thank you, Mark.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You guys for tuning in to another great episode of the Faith, Grind, Inspire podcast. This is your host, Gene Alert. And, you know, follow us on Instagram, Faith Grind Inspire. My personal is Mr. Alert. And, you know, share with your friends, share this episode, visit Mark's dojo and, you know, leave a message. God bless. Thank you again. Faith Grind Inspire.